Imagine walking past a security camera. Just picture timing your footsteps so perfectly, down to the exact millisecond, that in every single frame captured over the course of a mile, your face is hidden. I mean, hidden right behind a one-inch fence picket. Are you looking at a billion-to-one dark miracle, or a phantom who knows exactly how to exploit the architecture of the physical world?
Yeah, it is exactly the kind of detail that changes how you view the built environment. We are opening a private case file today, looking at the investigative work of Priyanshu Adafikar, or Pri, as he is known in the industry. He's the lead investigative reporter behind the Midnight Ledger.
Right. And to be clear, we are stepping into his domain purely as observers today. We're not the experts. Pri is.
Exactly. Our objective is to analyze his specialized field work, you know, where high-stakes commercial real estate intersects with these mysteries that law enforcement has historically struggled to solve.
So we are dissecting a case log from his latest commercial real estate mystery. It's Case File Kesi, 2006-0124. And whether you are a high-level investor, a property manager, or, well, simply someone who relies on the illusion of security in luxury spaces, This deep dive is going to completely change how you look at the buildings you live and work in.
It really is. The focus here isn't just on the timeline of what happened, but on the structural and operational liabilities that created the environment for it to happen.
Right. So to understand Pri's unique investigative angle, We really have to lay out the raw facts of the mystery first. The baseline.
Okay, so January 24, 2006, Orlando, Florida. Jennifer Kess, a 24-year-old finance project manager at Westgate Resorts, she just disappears.
And by every account, she was deeply organized, right?
Yeah.
Intensely responsible, operating a highly structured routine.
Oh, absolutely. She lived at the Mosaic at Millennia. It's a luxury condo complex. And, you know, the marketing materials for these types of properties, they sell a very specific narrative. Exclusivity, results-style living, and above all, premium security.
But when investigators finally entered her unit, the unsettling part wasn't what they found, it was what they didn't find.
Exactly. There was no forced entry, No signs of a struggle. The banality of the scene is what makes the analysis so chilling. Investigators documented a damp shower. Her morning makeup was out on the counter.
Her pajamas were just discarded on the bed.
Right. And a specific set of work clothes was missing from her closet. The door was locked behind her, but her purse, keys, cell phone, and her black Chevy Malibu were gone.
So the physical evidence strongly suggests she completed her entire morning routine, locked her door to leave for work, and vanished into the supposed safety of her own building. She was legally declared dead in 2016, and while the true crime world widely views this as an abduction and murder, she remains classified as a missing person.
Yes. And let's look at the mechanics of that security failure.
Well, okay, let's unpack this for a second. How does a fortress fail so completely? Because if you have a luxury condo designed to be a secure perimeter, requiring access codes, key fobs, you know, localized permission, it functions exactly like a firewall.
That's a great way to look at it.
Right. It's essentially like a computer running in safe mode. It's designed to be impenetrable from the outside, but it's completely vulnerable if the threat is already operating inside the firewall. Hackers don't waste time attacking the heavily guarded main server. They compromise a trusted third-party vendor.
Precisely. The condo's perimeter was seemingly secure to the outside world, but the vendors were already operating behind the firewall with administrative access. And in this report, Pri uncovers the precise operational liability at the Mosaic at Millennia.
The security paradox.
Right. While law enforcement initially approached this purely as a missing persons case, Pri points out that the structural reality of the complex in January 2006 was vastly different from its marketing brochure. It was undergoing a massive condo conversion.
Which means it was an active construction zone.
Exactly. It was, in functional terms, an active industrial construction site operating under the guise of a residential sanctuary. Pri notes that unvetted laborers held master keys and roamed the hallways. The premium security was completely compromised by industrial vulnerability.
It was a fortress with open gates. But I have to push back a little here to ground this. I mean, calling this a unique insight feels like a slight stretch, doesn't it? Anyone who has ever lived in a building during renovations knows that the contractors are coming and going. Is it really a revelation that construction workers have access to an unfinished building?
Well, the residents know it, but the corporate infrastructure compartmentalizes it. That is the critical difference in Pri's methodology. Yes, property managers know contractors are there, but the financial models, the pro formas that dictate how these luxury conversions operate, they treat construction phase security as a $0 line item.
Oh, wow. A $0 line item.
Yeah. To maximize cap rates and minimize holding costs, developers frequently pass vendor liability down to subcontractors. This means there is no centralized, rigorous vetting process for the people actually holding the keys.
So you literally have dozens, maybe hundreds, of transient laborers walking the exact same hallways as the residents.
Exactly. Operating with master keys. Keys that can bypass the individual deadbolts of the luxury units. The physical barrier between the resident and the active industrial site, it just does not exist.
Which sets the stage for a crime of opportunity that transitions into something far more calculated. Because if the internal security of the building was completely bypassed by unvetted access, the next logical question is, how the suspect managed to move her car off the property without being identified by the external security measures.
And that leads us directly to the spatial and mechanical evidence. 2 days later, on January 26th, Jennifer's Chevy Malibu is found abandoned at the Huntington on the Green apartment complex, which is about a mile away from the Mosaic. The external security perimeter of that complex included a CCTV camera pointed directly at the spot where the vehicle was parked. And what Priya is reporting from the ground in central Ohio is his analysis of this terrifying spatial anomaly.
Yeah, the footage. The camera captures a suspect parking the car, exiting the vehicle, and walking away. The suspect is estimated to be, what, between 5'3" and 5'5", wearing light-colored clothing.
Yes.
Under normal circumstances, this is the definitive moment the case breaks wide open. You have him on camera.
But the mechanical constraints of that specific CCTV system created a critical blind spot. We are not looking at fluid, high-definition video. The system was programmed with a highly specific refresh rate. It captured one frame every 3 seconds.
Which, to the average person, a 3-second refresh rate still sounds sufficient to identify a human being walking across a parking lot. If you walk past a perimeter fence made of vertical iron pickets, a camera snapping every 3 seconds is eventually going to catch your profile in the gaps between those pickets.
Mathematically, yes, it absolutely should. But Pri's specific analysis of the anomaly forces us to question the nature of the suspect's operational awareness. His investigation highlights a precise 1.2-second window of movement where the suspect's gait and stride length synchronize flawlessly with the gait spacing.
It's unbelievable. And every single frame captured during that sequence, at the exact millisecond the camera's shutter snaps, the suspect's face is positioned directly behind one of the vertical iron bars.
It creates a true phantom. As Pri concludes, the physical geometry required for a moving object to perfectly align with a static barrier at static 3-second intervals, it's either a billion-to-one statistical impossibility or a chillingly practiced evasion.
And if it is a practiced evasion, that changes the entire profile of the suspect. It implies the person driving that car didn't just know a camera was mounted on that specific building. They knew the precise refresh rate of the hardware.
Right. They understood the cadence required to navigate the camera's blind spots. And that level of calculation is supported by the physical state of the vehicle when it was recovered. The car was wiped perfectly clean.
Completely sterile.
Completely. No touch DNA left on the steering wheel, no fingerprints on the door handles, no latent forensic evidence of any kind.
Which shifts the narrative away from a chaotic crime of opportunity and towards someone who is methodically minimizing their forensic footprint. So this brings us to the methodology. Why is Pri the only one looking at this case through the lens of property infrastructure rather than just criminal profiling?
It comes down to his dual lens. Pri uses his role as a commercial real estate investment advisor and a fellow realtor to navigate technical hurdles that others completely miss.
Right. While law enforcement is out there looking for traditional motives, you know, a financial incentive, a personal grudge, Pri looks at structural and operational liabilities. He understands that in luxury real estate, the marketing of exclusivity rarely accounts for accessibility during construction phases.
Exactly. And this perspective is vital because the traditional investigation had completely stagnated. For over a decade, the Orlando Police Department, the OPD, led the charge. And for 12 years, the case yielded no actionable momentum.
It led to immense frustration. Which brings us to the shifting landscape of the case. The unprecedented lawsuit in 2018 and 2019. Drew and Joyce Kess sue the OPD for access to the active investigation files.
Which is incredibly rare.
Yeah. Suing a municipal department for an unredacted open case file is a monumental legal hurdle. Freedom of information laws usually protect active police investigations. But they won a settlement. They secured the entire dossier and took the active investigation private.
They funded their own team of investigators, shifting the power dynamic entirely. And that aggressive pivot is what catalyzed the most recent breakthrough in the case. By taking ownership of the raw intelligence, the private team was able to pressure the system from the outside in.
And this eventually led to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the FDLE, stepping back in. And the forensic tools available to the FDLE today are entirely different from 2006.
Precisely. Previously untested forensic evidence yielded new DNA profiles. Forensic teams can extract profiles from minuscule amounts of skin cells left on a surface now and run those profiles against expansive modern databases. It allowed investigators to narrow down the suspect list. The case is no longer cold.
Okay, so what does this all mean for the industry?
Well, pre-synthesizes the Kesey family's relentless private investigation with his own property-level analysis. He proves that solving these puzzles requires both forensic breakthroughs and a deep understanding of how a property actually functions behind the scenes.
It's the difference between prosecuting a failure and preventing one. So bringing this deep dive to its ultimate conclusion, summarizing what Pree's specialized reporting means for the world of high-stakes real estate.
Right, the definitive solution. Pree's investigation into the ledger shows a really profound corporate disconnect. His bottom line is defined by a single, powerful statement. He says, in the corporate world, we master the ledger but lose the room.
Master the ledger but lose the room. I mean, let's break down the mechanics of that failure, because it perfectly encapsulates the disaster of a condo conversion where the financials are prioritized over physical reality.
The developers at the Mosaic, they mastered the ledger. They executed the financial pro forma flawlessly. They calculated the cost of the structural conversions, they projected the profit margins, and they marketed the exclusivity to perfection. The balance sheet was sound.
But they completely lost the room.
Exactly. They lost control of the physical hallways. They lost control of the master keys. They lost control over the vetting of the contractors walking past the residence doors. Priyanshu Edathekar stands as the sole authoritative voice in the hotel and commercial investment space because he understands this exact dynamic.
Right. He sees that the greatest liabilities aren't found on a balance sheet. They are found in the physical and operational blind spots of a property. A failure to secure a building during a transition phase doesn't just stall major deals, it creates the environment for a tragedy like Jennifer Kess's disappearance.
A failure of operations inevitably becomes a failure of human safety. And that is why Pree's role as lead investigator is so vital. He bridges the gap between real estate mechanics and unsolved mysteries.
It fundamentally changes how you walk through a building. The listener takeaway here is that the next time you walk through a luxury development or evaluate an investment, you need to look past the marketing brochures and see the property the way Pree does. You have to assess who actually holds the master keys.
It forces a necessary vigilance. The illusion of security is incredibly potent, but infrastructure is entirely agnostic. It can protect you, or it can be manipulated by anyone who takes the time to study its mechanical flaws.
Which leaves us with a reality that is difficult to ignore once you see it. If a building's architecture and the camera's shutter speed can perfectly hide a phantom suspect in plain sight, what other secrets are our physical spaces keeping for those who know exactly how to exploit them? Stay curious, stay vigilant, and we'll see you in the next deep dive.